Prologue. Call me Sheila M. At this moment, I'm walking circuits on the deck of a cruise ship called The Diversion, on its two-week repositioning cruise from Barcelona, Spain to Tampa, Florida. I'm being passed by runners, joggers, and faster walkers. That's all fine with me. I'm enjoying the air and the sun and the peace. I'm watching people, eavesdropping a little, thinking about the past 15 years, wondering about the next 50 plus. I'm about to find a dead body, but that's getting ahead of the story. Sheila M. is not the name you might know me by if you read a certain kind of book, listened to a certain kind of interview, watched a certain kind of TV talk show, or if you were not in a cave protected from all news about blockbusters, book and movie, 15 years ago. But Sheila Mackey is the name I'll use in the life this story leads to. Might as well start now. Besides, I'm leaving behind that other person, the one with the name you might know. This moment in time, I'm taking you to what occurred while I was transitioning to my current circumstances and transitioning from the life I'd lived the previous 15 years. Contrary to what most might guess, that past is the boring part. So let's get it out of the way. Back when I was finishing college, I said yes to a job offer. It's what lucky graduates do after college. My friends said yes to job offers with tech firms, oil companies, charity foundations, and the FBI, among other things. I said yes to my great aunt. At that point, Aunt Kit, we left off the great most of the time, had been a working fiction author for more than 30 years after a brief stint in journalism. She'd written mysteries, science fiction, romance, horror, westerns, and more. She'd written under her name and five pen names. She'd ghostwritten for celebrities. She'd supported herself with her writing all through those years. Nothing grand, just, as she would say, a working stiff mid-list author. Then she wrote Abandon All, a departure for her, a book that bridged the commercial and the literary, a book with huge potential, a book no one in publishing would buy from her. That's not a proven fact, since she never submitted it to any publishers. It was a conclusion she drew from decades of experience in the business. For this book to reach its potential, she told me during that strangest of job interviews, it needed to have been written by a young, attractive woman from the Midwest, which she was not, at least not any longer. But you are Sheila, young, very attractive, from the Midwest with brains and freshness. You are perfect to be the author of Abandon All. I'd laughed. I can't be perfect to be its author because I didn't write it. I've always wanted to write, but I haven't actually written anything, much less a novel. Specifically one called Abandon All. You don't need to write it because I have. You need to be its public face, figure, and voice. I am, essentially, your ghostwriter. I'll provide what you need for the public role and pay you. There was a good deal more discussion, but the bottom line is I said yes. I was, after all, an English major with an undergraduate degree and no idea what to do next. If Abandon All drew interest from publishers, Aunt Kit would front the money for a trip to New York for both of us. It did. She did. There was an auction for the right to publish the book. That's where publishers bid against each other, though there's no fast-talking auctioneer with a gavel. That set my head spinning. Abandon All was not just a hit, it was a phenomenon, a cultural icon. The day an interviewer called it this century's To Kill a Mockingbird, I thought I'd faint right there on live TV. The movie was even bigger. In less than a year, Aunt Kit and I moved into a brownstone on the Upper West Side. She paid for it outright. Over the rest of the 15 years, my name, face, and voice remained the public front for Aunt Kit's writing. She wrote 8 more books for that persona. Me. Sometimes I forgot it was me and thought of that person as separate. None reached the Olympian heights of Abandon All, but they did fine financially. She paid me 35% of the author's earnings, saying I did more for those books than the agent who took 20% off the top. Plus provided my housing, author clothing, food, and transportation. Perhaps more important, she invested my money. Aunt Kit was careful and shrewd. She also wrote another 25 books in her old genres for fun and published them independently. That income was all hers, as it should be. Though she argued with me, focusing on the brainstorming I'd done with her, particularly for the mysteries. She would set up a scenario, then we'd sit together and brainstorm how her character would approach figuring out who done it. I argued back that it was fun. She'd snorted. Might be fun, it's still work. You're good at characterization, and you, especially, have an excellent grasp of how a character would follow clues. You, because I'm nosy, should be writing yourself. Nosiness is a great trait for a writer. Maybe I will write someday. Another snort conveying she knew I didn't believe it. She stuck to her point. In the meantime, I should pay you for your input. No, you pay me more than enough for the other. She stopped arguing, which meant she planned to see I got that money one way or another. For the job, for which I did accept compensation, I did appearances. I spoke at literary events, I walked red carpets, I offered writing advice, culled from Aunt Kit. I was videoed and photographed, and I gave interviews. No one except the two of us, my parents and siblings, knew I wasn't writing the books. To the outside world, I was offering a home to my aging relative instead of vice versa. I'd said yes on a lark. I ended up being tied to a lie for 15 years. Could I have left? Should I have left? Certainly. Probably. I didn't. So, what's the use of thinking about it? An Aunt Kittism. You can't change the past. Then, 6 months ago, she said she was retiring. She might continue writing her fun books as she felt like it, but she was tired of the literary pretensions abandon all taught readers and critics to expect when my name was on a cover. She probably also was tired of hearing the author should write another abandon all. She said one should be enough. She was always kind enough to say we, had earned enough, and under her guidance, we were both set for life. Plus, there'd be ongoing royalties. She bought a place on the beach in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, which I was invited to visit any time, but was not to be my home. She was pushing me out of the nest. This cruise was a cushion for my landing and Aunt Kit's idea for a low-key farewell performance, as the name you'd probably recognize, though no one else knew it was a finale. One good thing I'd done at the start, more out of a kind of shyness than smarts, was to use one of my middle names and my mother's maiden name, also Kit's last name, on the books. That left me other parts of my legal name to use in my new life. Not wanting to return completely to my pre-abandon all name, I decided on Sheila Mackey, taken from pieces of other family names. As for the author of Abandon All, time would pass without a new release. If enough questions were asked, a statement would be made about retirement and the desire for privacy. The word recluse might pop up. If it added to the sales of the existing books, we wouldn't complain. So that was me, walking around the ship in midair after the push out of the nest. Would I fly? Would I crash? Step one, figure out how to flap these things sticking out at my sides. No, I take that back. Step one, figure out how I got blood on my finger from touching the woman wrapped up in the pool towels. How's that for a start on a new life? Bloody woman, and I'm about to become a sleuth with a secret identity. Chapter 1.
I could kill her.
It all started when those words floated up to us as Petronella and I walked into the cruise ship in Barcelona in early November, 10 days before I found the woman who'd stopped breathing. I need to explain about Petronella, possibly about me, a single woman in her mid-30s, taking a 2-week transatlantic cruise, too. Aunt Kit explains both. Petronella was the daughter of Kit's long-dead fiancé's cousin from his mother's side. Welcome to Kit's world. I got to the point where I referred to everyone as Kit's relative. It made it easier. Though it did confuse our Guatemalan housekeeper at the brownstone when I introduced her as Kit's relative to a visiting acquaintance. Aunt Kit took me on my first cruise shortly after the abandoned all auction and then at least once a year since. Always transatlantic, always from Europe back to the United States as they moved the ships into place for winter cruises to the Caribbean. Yes, you can take more than one a year that fit those requirements with planning. They're long, they're frequently out of range of the internet. Low percentage of the passengers attempt to stay as drunk as possible for the duration. You gain an hour about every 2.5 days, was her explanation for choosing those cruises. I agreed with each point. Also, the author of Abandon All went largely unnoticed on these cruises, a major bonus. Kit booked this cruise as my transition, and here I was. But I lied. Or more accurately, I was an unreliable narrator in saying it started when Petronella and I boarded the ship. I notice I didn't mention Aunt Kit boarding the ship. Yes, she abandoned me on this trip. More. Much more on that later. It, the dead woman in the deck chair, started well before I found her body. If I were Sam Spade, I'd say it started when the dame walked onto the ship, and that would be true, from my POV. POV is author talk for point of view, which character is steering the bus for that part of the story so the reader experiences it through his or her mind and senses. From the point of view of the woman dead in the deck chair, it started much earlier, at some point in her life when seeds took root that grew into someone killing her. For me, it started with that voice carried on an air current up the boxy zigzag of the gangplank.
I could kill her.
I looked over the railing to the series of switchback ramps below us that created easygoing boarding for the diversion. Fellow passengers strung out behind us among the early arrivals that Sunday afternoon, a daisy chain of gray heads interspersed with determinedly not gray heads and sun hats, male and female. No telling where the words came from. Not even 100% a woman spoke them. More like 60%, maybe 55. And what did it matter? We've all said the same thing how many times in our lives? Except something in the voice made me look. Then I forgot about it because it was our turn to be welcomed onto the diversion. In the background stood a young woman dressed in a crisp white shirt with insignia and name tag over navy slacks, holding balloons and a sign bearing Petronella's name. I nudged Petronella with a smile. Look! She clasped a hand to her throat. Oh God, someone's died. I doubt they carry yellow and red balloons to notify you of a death. The tears in her eyes apparently blocked her hearing because she didn't relinquish her panicked horror as I dragged her toward the smiling young crew member. This is Petronella, I told her. The young woman's smile flickered, but she handed an envelope and the red balloon to Petronella. Hope you enjoy your treat, miss. She looked at me more shyly. And I believe this is for you. We were asked not to use your name publicly because of who you are. Or were. I didn't say that aloud. I thanked her for both of us, took the envelope and yellow balloon, and dragged Petronella out of the mainstream of boarding passengers. I ripped my envelope open. She shook, tears sliding down. It's from Kit, I said brightly. Oh my God, Kit's dead. Not unless she's writing to us from heaven or elsewhere. I loved Kit dearly, but I didn't see her getting a direct ticket through the pearly gates. She's booked manicures for us. I checked the clock. In 10 minutes. To get us in the mood and pass some of the time before we get settled in our cabins. When you embark on a cruise, your main luggage is whisked away to appear outside your cabin door at some point in the future. All very nice, but that point in the future frequently ends up being unpredictable. Kit taught me to carry a go bag to make waiting for the magic more pleasurable. The go bag held all the necessities for several hours of relaxation, from sunscreen and sunglasses to reading material and headphones to a few munchies and a thermos of cold water Petronella insisted on filling for me. Today wasn't hot, but quite warm in the sun. November on a cruise from eastern Spain to Gulf Coast, Florida can be variable. But it's not November in the Midwest, where I grew up, or Manhattan, where I'd spent the past 15 years. In those places, you're more likely to need gloves, hats, scarves, boots, and hot chocolate than sunscreen, sunglasses, and cold water. But my summer year supplies were on hold, thanks to Kit arranging for these manicures. Are you sure? Maybe my envelope isn't the same. Petronella brought out the worst in me. I so wanted to say, yeah, you're right. Kit sent me a balloon and a manicure, but you, she sent a balloon in the news that one of your nearest and dearest has died. With more determination than grace, I said, I'm sure. Open your envelope. While she did, I attached both our balloons to a nearby railing. Railings are nearby almost everywhere on a cruise ship. With still shaking hands, she removed the card. Oh, it's for a manicure, she said in astonishment.